That's a difficult symphony. Okay, let's all sing this one. I am the light, number 61. Jesus, you know, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. You will have, already the light of life. We're hearing that now. See, it's not by studying letters and stuff, it's by hearing. I heard it, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing the love of God. That he already said, you're holy, before I even came out of my mother's womb. How awesome is that? Hey, isn't that just awesome?
Yeah.
Oh, so, Diane, she's going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's cool. And it keeps on coming to us. And at first we think, what in the world is that all about? I can't understand a word about it. And God, in his wonderful faithfulness, he keeps on coming to us.
Yeah.
And it might take 30 years. I've been going for 40 years, every day, beginning to hear something. Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, gosh, and the best is yet to come. So, Diane, you can lead us in. It's on the first page, okay? Great is thy faith. We stuck it into the songbook. So you should have it on the, when you just open the songbook.
And we thank Joy very much for transposing this song.
Yes.
Because it's too screaming high. And she's the only one that can sing that high.
Yeah. That's my pleasure. Just a little time.
You know what's awesome? When I was, where was I? Some one of these places I was at. Since I've been here, there was a full moon. Was that Imbolc?
It was Imbolc.
I think it was. Yeah. Okay, here's this full moon. And I love the moon, as Mike always teases me that I was a moon worshiper. But when I was a child, I talked to the moon. That was God. That was my God. I mean, I knew it was God. But anyway, the moon means a lot to me because it does shine its light. And here I am, the other end of the world. It's the same full moon. And I go and I type a letter to a friend of mine. And she says, the moon is just setting as the moon was rising here or whatever. And I have goosebumps because it's one of the verses in here talks about that. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. It's the same everywhere in the world. And I'm just amazed because of God's great faithfulness, His great love. He's holding it all things together. There's craziness all around us. But for somehow, we're here. We're held together. We're not destroyed. So we have to sing this song.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Provided.
Great is thy faithfulness.
your faithfulness, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing all of us together this very moment. Thank you for your faithfulness in drawing us to this beautiful place, our home church, so to speak. And I am just acknowledging now, Lord, and thank you so much for the path of life that you've shown us.
Yeah.
You have shown us the path of life.
Yeah.
In your presence, there is joy forevermore.
Mm.
And I thank you, Lord, you brought Mike down a path of life that's been a hard and rocky one, but it's for this time, as for such a time as this,
yeah.
that we're gathered acknowledging your greatness. And that we've heard so many beautiful things, Lord, about you being having us in your palm from the foundations of the world.
Mm.
And I thank you so much for Tony and for my precious Martha. And I just want to speak your life and your light continually in their life as you just sustain and hold them through thick and thin.
Mm.
And I just love Tony so much, and I just bless him now for the words that will come forth, that he has the words of life. Thank you, Lord, you've come and you've given us the words of life.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
When Diane was talking about the rocky road to realization, and of course, unless we go through these rocky roads and sometimes perhaps even seemingly unbearable situations that we face in our life, that I can give thanks to the Father that he has taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now, by no means do I criticize the wise, but it's not easy for a wise man to understand the spiritual revelations that are hid within every one of us that are now coming. Now, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it is seen good at thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then he said, come all to me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the revelation that come here and that has been shown to me, that the kingdom of God is not in syllables, it's not in words, it's not in thoughts, it's not in theology, it's not in philosophy or psychology or whatever ology we know. The word of God is spirit and it is power for those that not only realize it, but it's not easy sometimes, because until we come to the end of our tether and we make our bed in hell and everybody has cast you out as, you know, as something not desirable, then God speaks. in the midst of hell. Like Jonah said, in the belly of the fish, God spoke. And he was spat out on dry land. And I'm so glad that God was spat out on dry land too, you know what I mean? So the mystery of life is not so much in knowledge, because the knowledge of the world, and I will continue to read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now Paul, you all know, that was a theologian. He was trained and taught by the great Gamaliel about everything what they could construe as being the word of God, that was, had to be obeyed, it had to be read, it had to be studied, until we come to a place where we think we have it. And you will never come to that place. You search the scriptures, you search the books and the Bibles, you search everything to find that place, what I would call paradise, a place where no thought of men, nothing works, and the inquisitiveness of the human mind that wants to know things are all based upon the knowledge how to survive, how to be healed, how to experience satisfaction with your wife or your husband or your children or wherever. And you know, like Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Because there is nobody that would like to know what Jesus knew. And he came unto his own, the Jews, because he was born a Jew. He was born under the jurisdiction of the Jewish faith. And he was even baptized that all righteousness might be fulfilled. But after all these ceremonies and creeds and approaches, Jesus abandoned the lot. He abandoned the temple. He said, "We no longer shall worship God in a temple made of stone or some paraphernalia we see in the church, like crosses and idol and statues and the host or whatever we feel that we think is important in this life that we need to know it." And you know, it's not there. It's simply not there. So Paul said here, and Paul said after he was thrown off his horse, maybe heard that before, he got to know the one that carried within himself the wisdom to maintain and sustain all life without any trying to do it. Yeah. See, God is not trying to make the trees grow. He's not trying to make your, you know, your stomach digest food. He doesn't try to make your eyes see. You see, God, when he said everything what he did, was already complete and perfect, and nothing needs to be added to or taken away from it. Now, I know that the knowledge that I refused to learn in school was to my benefit, but I didn't know that, because I was a rebel. And I would be sitting in the classroom, and at that time there was still corporal punishment, you know, with the stick. And I would be sitting on my desk, and I had a couple of occasions that they were not very nice, for my behalf that is. We have these desk with the inkwell in the front, you know, the old inkwell, you got a pen, you got to dip the pen in, and then you start writing. And one day, the teacher was standing there in the front of the room, and he was teaching something. I didn't hear anything. I was just looking out the window and looking at the birds flying past and the butterflies, and suddenly I had my hand on it, and suddenly slam on my hand with this rod, this cane rod, and my hand began to swell up. And something welled up in me. And the teacher went back, and he had this beautiful gray suit on. Nice, you know, it was a very nice dress. He must have gone out the next day somewhere. And I got so angry that I picked up the inkwell out of the ink thing and I threw it at him. Oh. And his nice summer suit. Guess what? I was excommunicated.
Expelled.
Yeah. Excommunicated. So, you know, when I was born into this world, when I was born into this world, you know, out of my mother's womb, the only thing what I could do was cry. And you know, I've cried ever since, until I was 45 years. Maybe not on the outside, but there was a crying within me, a desire, a longing for something that I didn't understand. And I would lie in the woods on the back, on my back, looking at the stars and seeing the clouds, and I was a meditator. I didn't know that I was meditating then, but I was a meditator. I was somebody that was not satisfied with the status quo. So I was really a strange duck in a pond. I didn't really know why I was born. But now I know. And I went through many things, experienced many things, and I made my bed in hell several times. I nearly died of alcoholism and, you know, the cirrhosis of the liver, and I became so desperate that I was, you know, start calling out for God, and the answer came. And it was one day, that was the climax of my egotistical human desire for life, because I wanted God, I didn't want anything else. I came to that conclusion. I was not satisfied with cars or anything else. Oh, I like, you know, like it, but that was not my goal anymore. My goal was that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I wanted to know why this world was all about, and I got the answer. Now the answer came when Paul said here, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Alright, there you are. Not with wisdom of words. So I knew then that it's not in the wisdom of words. It's not in the theology of life. It's not in the philosophy of life. It's not in the wisdom that man speaks or the words that he utters out of his mouth. Because it doesn't come out of, how can I say, it doesn't come out of books or Bibles. And, you know, I'm not saying the Bibles and the books are wrong, but you see, the hard lessons that I've learned, I was inquiring in the Lord, you know what I mean? I began to read Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, and it is my salvation. What or whom shall I fear? When the wicked come upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumble and they fall. Now, the wicked are not people. The wicked thoughts that I had in my mind were not. They were generations of things that have built up in me and it came to a climax. You know, it's the way death works. Until it comes to its climax, and then. Even, well, this is prophetic, of course. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked thoughts, the beliefs, the anxieties, the fears that tormented my mind to eat up my flesh, to cause disease to come in my body, to destroy me in whatever way it could, stumbled. It stumbled and it fell. Glory be to God. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ Jesus would be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them perish, to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where then is the wise, and where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now isn't that something? haven't we yet not learned that doesn't come by the wisdom of this world or by what I would call knowledge? Now, I know that knowledge has a different meaning than what we think it is, because the knowledge what we have learned into the world was the knowledge based upon the experience that we have, and we try to counteract the problems that we face. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. This is how we learn not only self-survival, but also the survival of nations. And but it's all separated factions of portions of life, of people, of nations, of communities, and we're all trying to find the best way or the knowledge so that we can preserve our situation. See? Now Jesus came and he did not preserve his situation. Do you understand that? He said, I did not come here to preserve or save the sinners, and I did not come here to preserve or save my own life, my human life. Because if you try to preserve your human life, you will lose it.
Yeah.
But if you let go of it, you will gain it.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah.
It's strange, because what you compromise to keep, you will lose. Mm. And if you let go of it, you gain.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the wisdom of God. So not until we die, actually die daily to the knowledge that we have learned and known, so there is actually a lesser dependency upon knowledge that we know. Everything that we know is based upon the knowledge that you got from the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. See? Because that's where the knowledge is. That's not the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the problem, not the answer. Knowledge is not the answer. You know, we have found so many ways of trying to preserve ourselves through the medical profession, through the philosophical and psychological and everything else like that, which seems to be commendable. But everything, I believe, eventually knowledge will cease. We're going to read that in a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but first of all, we finish this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, is that right? And Greeks seek after wisdom or knowledge. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek a foolishness. But unto them which are called, you know, you might be completely like I was in the midst of hell, and he called me out of hell. Aren't you glad? He called me out of hell. You reckon that God would call the anointed preachers or whatever? No, he called me out of hell, because God knew that I came to the end of my self-orientation, because I knew that my self-orientation led me into hell itself, because of the knowledge that I was operating in. And I will tell you what, I learned to connive and manipulate pretty good. You know, I make a good deal. I go to the shop and I deal with them, you know what I mean? I get a good deal. But anyway, God gave me a better deal. He gave me a good deal. He said, you allow me to kill you first, okay, and then I will give you my life. So that's what happened. Well, Jesus actually done for me, because if one died for all, then all are dead. Isn't that true?
That's right.
And with the death comes all the wisdom and all the knowledge and all the manipulation, all the systems of theology and church doctrine. I don't care what it is, because I never knew anything about church doctrine. I never heard of Martin Luther or some other fellow. You know, I didn't know anything. So I am a pre-church man. I didn't know anything about church life or its teachings.
Thank God.
So I was actually beginning to see that I now am built in the realization that the knowledge of God will drive out of me everything that still lingers on. Whatever fear or anxiety I have about my life, so-called my life, I have to constantly consider myself dead unto sin and alive unto God.
Yes.
See? That's the mystery, I believe. So, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things that are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. That's the wisdom of God, or that's the knowledge of God. How does the knowledge of God come to us? Does it come by reading? Well, it helps. But, you know, what about a man that has no ability to read or study? It can still come. It can still come by people that are really illiterate. It happened, you know. It happens. I'm not saying that I was illiterate, but I didn't know much. And even that which I knew had to be cast down as imaginary. See? Because I had feelings about things, you know. My mother didn't love me, and nobody wanted to listen to what I have to say. I get constantly pounded by the things what I did or didn't do, you know what I mean? And, you know, during the war, I had no shoes. Shoes wore out, I mean, and I only had things that I couldn't walk in. You know, what my mother did, she took my grandmother's shoes, and they were sort of my size, and that she sawed off the high heels, and she gave them to me to wear. Did I hate that?
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't have anything. I mean, in the later on the war, we didn't even have blankets. And we were in the winter, it was so cold. In the 44 was what I would call the strongest winter. The temperature was so low. And can you just imagine? We had no wood. We had no coal. We couldn't make a fire. And I had to go out and look for the wood. You know what I mean? My brother and I. So we managed to get some wood. And actually, we had a beautiful pear tree in the back garden. And one morning we woke up. One morning we woke up and the pear tree was gone. Somebody had chopped it up for firewood. These things were my experiences. And in that, I learned obedience by the things that I suffered. I didn't know yet that I learned obedience, but I did learn obedience. Yeah. Let me explain this to you. When we are now living in Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
We're not living in our own humanity anymore. Mm-hmm. We are dead. We are not governed by the feelings of despair anymore, because we know that God is our keeper. He keeps us in the hollow of his hand. He knows our need even before we ask, you know. So now we must keep our consciousness free of judgment. I'm learning that. Do you think that I still have overcome everything? No, no, no. I'm still overcoming the feelings of certain things that are gradually disappearing from my innermost being, you know. So we have to keep our conscience free of judgment, free of criticism, condemnation, doubt, fear, or even discouragement.
Yeah.
I was discouraged there about a week ago. I felt discouraged because of the outburst of my still dormant humanity that rose up a little bit. You know what I mean? But you know, that's all gone now, you see, it's gone. Because I knew that it was not a God activity that manifested itself, but simply part of my human history. Now I know I don't have a history. See? Isn't that good?
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Martha.
She will say, what happened to Tony? What happened to my husband?
Oh boy.
So we got the think, you know, think and voice error as little as you can. Now error is every feeling that you feel about yourself. I feel sick, I feel lonely, I can't do it, you know. What does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if you're weak, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Even if you look at your person, no money. And then God says, how much you want? Oh God, can I have $20?
Yeah. Oh,
is that something?
Yeah.
And gradually we came out of that poverty consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were delivered from the fear of having no provision.
Yeah.
And you know, I found over the years that God has never ever let me down.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. When I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I lean not to my own understanding, everything comes to me in abundance.
Yes.
But it doesn't come from that place what I think it's coming from.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, that's the thing. So years ago, we sold our house in Macclesfield. We had 10 acres over there. We lived there for 35 years. And eventually we sold it and we invested the money in some shared business, you know. And of course we invested when the share prices were high, and that is wrong. Mm-hmm. I should never have done it, you know, but never mind. I did it. Of course, the next couple of months later, the share prices went like that. And so get my money, you know what I mean? At least 30% or something. And for myself, oh, that's not so good, you know what I mean? And our viewers are crying because we wanted to build a house, and now there was not enough money to build a house. So I said to myself, "What are we going to do? You know, we've got not enough money to do it." And we didn't want to go in a big, you know, mortgage. Didn't want to do that because at that age you don't want to go into big mortgages. So we surrendered it to Father and said, "Father, you know what's best for us to do. We made a foolish mistake, so now you know, you clear it up." So before that, we were in the United States, that's in 1995, we were in Phoenix, or close to Phoenix there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. In the mountains, we had a funny house with the name is the beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Prescott.
In Prescott, okay. You know where Prescott is?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there, and there was this... We had a beautiful time there, it was wonderful, and there was this missionary lady, she was about in her 80s, and she liked the word what I ministered so much that she, you know, she when we went back to Australia, she received the mail and received the letters and the tapes, and she got so excited about it, you know, and she lived in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica, Los Angeles, and she had this big house, big old house. It's a big property, and that was worth money. Now she was already old. Now she eventually, you know, actually what I did, I gave her my Bible because I wanted a new Bible, and she was so happy with the Bible that she got. She treated it as holy ground, you know what I mean? And so we went back to Australia, and then the poor thing got some time later, she got a stroke, and she passed away. But little did I know that she had put us in her will. And you know, the money that we got from her, I mean, there were three, because everything was done for the evangelization or the bringing of the word to the nations or whatever. And I was one of the culprits. I was one of the recipients of the will. Mm-hmm. And out of it, you know, the dollar at that time was 48 cents to the American dollar. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if you would get $150,000 mm-hmm. American, how much that will work out mm-hmm. in Australian dollars. Mm-hmm. Isn't it how clever God is?
Yes.
he knew how exactly what bank to do it, you know what I mean? And even the bank, when we got the money, the bank was even reluctant to cash in the check. Because they were hoping that the Australian dollar would go up quickly so I don't get so much.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got the money and we had enough money to build the house that you now see. And the land that we... Because we bought the land, but we looted the money, and then you couldn't build a house. But now, and the whole story became a wonderful operation of God's grace, wasn't it, Karen?
Thank you.
Yeah. Because we couldn't get we got the money now to build a house, and we couldn't get a permit because we had no access.
Wow.
And you know, the grace of God is amazing because the council offices where the record of the properties around here and the the whatever it was, the titles and all that, that was all burned up. The whole thing burned down. Including my application for the house, everything burned down. So when it was all finished and they were operating in another office, I went to the office and said, well, what about my application for building a house? He said, well, we haven't got it anymore. So we've got to rezone the whole thing, and we got to establish everything, and you know the road, because they said you have no access because this is a government road. It's a fire road. It's for building, you know, for engines and also stuff that goes over there, and we can't find it. So what we do, we'll rezone it, and they made that a private road. So we got the road, Karen and myself, and we got the road given to us for nothing, for our access, for our private use. Can you just imagine that? The council doesn't often do that.
No.
See? So you can see God's hand in there, you know, how it all works for the good, to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, obviously, we were called for His purpose. I'm still... you know, saying to myself, how is God going to do this, you know what I mean? But He's doing it. There's also a great deal of sorting out going on, because there's always the EBDBs that try to destroy it, you know what I mean? But you can't destroy something, but God has planted and God has built. Mm-hmm. And He will watch over His word to perform it.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So... consciously control your thought in the direction of I am. I am the light. Mm-hmm. You know? I am the supply.
Wow.
And I am the intelligence, and I am free. Mm-hmm. I'm free intelligence. And that's not the wisdom of man. The wisdom and the knowledge of God is that what's called the Logos. The Logos is that which is God. God is the Logos. God is the intelligence. God is the maintaining and sustaining energy that keeps the world and everything that is in perfect balance. And there is no evil thing in that whole creation we know.
No.
There's not an evil devil. There's no evil demons. There's nothing else but God. And He wants you to realize that you are that God. Elohim. You are the Elohim. You are the plurality of God. You are the being of God. You see, you cannot have God in something else. That would be impossible.
That's right.
You see, so the wisdom that is now coming and flowing through us, as you heard before, that this wisdom is now taking its ascendancy within us to bring about the order of things that God established in the beginning, called the order of Melchizedek. The order of an endless life, without beginning or ending. You know, that's what you are. You are the order of life that God has ordained. Do you know that? And this thing, what you see, is not what you are. So we do not judge any man after the flesh. Even though we have known Jesus after the flesh, we know him no longer that way.
That's right. Amen.
See?
Yeah.
We do not know Jesus anymore as a man.
That's right.
Jesus is now the Christ that has filled the universe with himself. Mm-hmm. And because you are now himself in the earth, you are filled with all the knowledge of the glory of God, which God commanded to shine out of darkness to give us the light of the knowledge. Wow. Now there you got the knowledge. The knowledge is that what makes your eyes see. Huh? That's why I said, let your eye be single.
Yeah.
Then your whole body will be full of light. What does it mean? It's light. Mike knows all about light. But he also knows something about a light that you cannot see. Because you can't see light. You can only see the evidence of light that appears as form. See? But without the perception that you have, the light, if there was no light, there was no image either. The light produces the image, what you are, as long as you don't judge yourself based upon what you see, which is based upon human knowledge. Because if you base yourself on, I am a woman, I'm a man, I'm wealthy, I'm healthy, I'm sick, I'm tired, blah, 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 you are now walking in iniquity. Now, iniquity means a lack of righteousness, a lack of knowing yourself the way you are known. Huh? And then, of course, then these things which you don't want will come upon you. Mm-hmm. And Job learned his lesson. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Huh? Mm-hmm. And he lost everything because of his own whatever. But then he began to pray or see his persecutors, and he said, Father, forgive them. He began to release them from the, you know, from the things what they did unto Job.
Yes.
And the killing, whatever happened there, and he released them, and everything what Job once had was returned to him. Mm-hmm. Pressed down, shaken together, and run over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So this I am then is the universal being, your Christ self. It's your true identity, the only one you have. You know? We speak of your life or my life, or his life or her life, whereas it is necessary for us to remember that there is in all the world only one life. Yeah? Is there only one life? Have you got a life of your own? Have you got human life? No, you have got no. There is no such as human life. But because we think we have a life of our own, we're trying to protect it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And what you heard before, don't worry when people, well, so-called die, it's not pleasant for a moment. The emotional things, yeah, it's not nice at all. But don't mourn about it. Because, you see, nobody has ever died. Mm-hmm. See, the thing what you are, eternally in the heavens, you know what I mean? You are eternally in the heavens. I am now eternally in the heavens. Mm-hmm. I am aware of my own self the way God knows me. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I was so, you know, like a little child. I didn't know anything about anything. You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was my blessing. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I don't know. But anyway, I came to the end of my tether and I've been born again of the recognition that I am not flesh and blood. I am not flesh and blood. I know it. And because I knew that I was not flesh and blood, you know what happened to my flesh and blood? It began to, I'm talking about the you know, my stomach, my liver, everything what we call flesh and blood, began to be restored. Now, it was not immortalized. God does not immortalize life, what we call physical life. But immortality, life and immortality was revealed by Jesus through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, 7 to 10. Life and immortality was brought to light through the gospel. And he saved us with a holy calling to bring back to our remembrance the things what we have forgotten since we descended into the lower realms where we only experience calamity, death, sickness, disease, fear. So this world then that we live in is not God's world. That's why he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the emotional man. Did Jesus have emotional man in himself? Yeah, he did. Because he's, you know, he was actually confronted with the most awful situation as a human being, having to face the death of the cross, to be beaten and to be, you know, all that stuff what happened to him. And he allowed himself to be dealt with that he opened not his mouth and he died as the last serpent man.
Yeah.
It was the serpent man. And I've shown you before that as Moses lifted up the serpent, that was the symbol of the cross. As Moses lifted up the symbol with the serpent on the pole, so also must the Son of Man or the human be crucified. So there are two liftings up. You understand that? So that which is consisted of the wisdom and the knowledge what we have learned as human beings was crucified. All the knowledge about our life, about the situation, even about God.
Yeah.
Because all the knowledge we have of God in our human mind, our intellectual evaluation, is error. All of it. There's not one thing that you can use to bring about the realization that I am that I am. Nothing can through, I would call, the theology. Now, I'm not knocking anything, but I'm just saying, if you want to live, let it go. If you want to experience life, let it go.
Yes.
And let God.
That's right.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but became obedient to the death of the cross, so that you and I can experience the resurrection and the ascension into life. So, and do it now. Do it in this lifetime. Do it in this lifetime, or allow it to happen in this lifetime so you don't have to come back again. Yeah, that's right. You see, we are living in a parenthesis as humans, and we're going around about the circle, and we're trying to find an anchor for our soul. We tried to get there, but we won't be able to. And I gave the illustration yesterday about when I was in Holland, we had this, what we call a kermis. That's a place where you have, you know, fun place, where you have rides and all sorts of other stuff. And there was a round building, that's about 40 feet, maybe round circle, in a circular room. And there was a big disc, and that disc was running around like that. Now what you're going to do is you're going to try to get on the disc. And you know, you try it, it's hard. And you're going to know exactly what you're doing and what angle you have to go up the disc to counteract the gravitational force and the thing that swings you out. So I saw the people just jump on and they swung up and they were, you know. So I stood there looking. And that's all the people that are doing. So you got the disc like that, and the center like that, and I stood here, and there's the center, and the disc goes like that. So I ran against the circular motion like that. Then almost when that happened, you almost stand still, and then I quickly went to that and I came right to the center. I worked it out that if you are feeling yourself in a cyclonic situation, you know, even captains on sea ships that experience a cyclone, they are told, try to find yourself to the center of the cyclone. Because that's where you, where there is no movement. And that's what I saw myself there, you know. Going there and against the trend of the world swing and the trouble, I ran and I came to the center and I was there in total peace. I didn't have to exert myself. I stood there and I saw that as to the climax of every man and woman to reach that point of balance and harmony where you can live and move and you have your being in there. Huh? They are illustrations, but still, there's only one life, and this life is deathless. This life is ageless. It's older than Methuselah, who lived 980 years or something. Are you then ready to die? When are you ready to die? At 980? Well, I mean, of course, nowadays you say, I'd be glad when I live to 80 or even 70. So we are trying to preserve this thing because we think that's our life. But you see, the life that truly is eternal. It's immortal. Yes, it's invisible and it's incorruptible. It cannot be changed. And God spoke it out, it is, and it will never be changed. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, and it says here in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up Jesus from the dead shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving may redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward men perish, you know, the body, you know, what you see is the outward, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So now what's renewed is the knowledge of the glory that we all had in the beginning, that's now coming to us as God speaks to us, line upon line, here a little, and said with stammering lips God speaks to his people. So we come back to the glory what we had in the beginning with God, where there is no suffering or death. See, because we have created a world where there's nothing else but trouble. Now, God didn't create this world. God did not create a world where people suffer and die and be tried. And God doesn't try anybody or test anybody with evil or with good. Because sometimes it's more evil to be tested with good than it is to be tested with evil.
That's right.
You know, that's all part of the same tree. But the good is delusive, that think that somehow I can have a good life in this world. Well, you can only have a good life if you really go through the evil part first, really, and experience the degradation that outlines then what you are not to that which you are. It's the inner man, and is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for the moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Okay? Now what you see with the five senses, hear and perceive with your senses is temporal. For the things that are seen are temporal. In other words, subject to change. But God's world and God's economy, God's life is not changed. It's always the same today, yesterday, and forever. God doesn't change. So when we rise out of this darkness as God commanded it again, the light to shine out of darkness, to give us back the light of the knowledge. Now that's not theological knowledge, it's the knowledge that God has, how to uphold, sustain and maintain the creation. You know, you have been given the authority to do that in the beginning. You know that God never legislated you or I or the peoples of this. God has never legislated any man and said you can eat of this tree, but you can't eat of that tree. He didn't even give us a choice. You know, you think that you can make a choice? No, you can't. Because you see, unless the Father draws us back into Himself, all our choices are in vain, because the outworking of your unconscious mind will work through this, and all the stuff that you have accumulated over the thousands of years will eventually manifest itself. In my case, it was total degradation. And I did it. Because I did it my way. Yeah. I did it my way, and because I did it my way, I died. I know, I was so sick. And so, wow, I did it my way. And God says, no, you're not. You're going to do it my way. And you're going to have my thoughts flowing through you.
Oh, hallelujah.
You know, because my thoughts are greater than your thoughts. And as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And God says, and I will be eager to perform that what you see in truth, that is, what you see in truth, I will perform.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
So what do you see? What didn't you hear what Kathy said? What do you see?
Yeah.
Oh, I see a dark hole with a lot of trouble going on. Well, you're looking at the wrong thing. Pardon me. And God will not perform that. You're doing it to yourself. God will not perform evil. He said, I perform only that what you see in truth. And that represents the symbol of the almond branch. You know? And that means the principle of non-resistance, of alertness and activity. That's how it works. So God's word still is the answer. Therefore we can, you know, set yourself apart at least sometime every day to meditate on the allness of God. See, there is only the allness of God. There is not other things. There are no other things. It's only God. Everywhere and all around, God appears as all things. Mm-hmm. But everything what God has ordained is always perfect. It's wonderful. It cannot be evil. It cannot be black. It cannot be white. It is invisible. The original creation is invisible. You are invisible. Are you hearing that? Have you been hearing that you are invisible, that nobody can see you? I know you. I know you from the pub, because it was one day I was sitting there on the bench waiting for the bus. And it was sometimes after, you know, got delivered from this alcohol and stuff. And because the car was in service, so I had to wait for the bus. And I was just sitting on the bench there waiting for the bus. Somebody walked past, sit next to me, but also waiting for the bus. And he was sitting looking at me like that. He said, You look familiar. You look like a man I knew when I was drinking in the pubs, you know. We were drinking together. And his name was Tony. I said, you look very much like him. I said, I do. He said, are you Tony? I said, I got bad news for you. I said, Tony died. Are you his brother? I said, no, I died.
Yeah.
He looked at me like a frog in a hailstorm. What do you mean? Dead? Are you dead? Yeah, I'm dead.
Yeah.
The bus coming quickly. You're the bus. But you see, our life, we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. The recognition of, and the memories of what I used to be like, or what I appeared to be, is no longer there. And you know, and we have to do that too, especially when you're living with a partner that has suddenly gets a conversion and changes. It's not easy to live with the partner that next to you, because they are not yet up to that level. But now you must not judge them after the flesh. Nobody. Even the ignorant, you just love them. They don't know any better. And Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing or saying.
That's right.
And I'm learning. I'm saying that again. I'm learning to love as God loves. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, the things which are not seen are eternal. 1 Corinthians 13. And that's, of course, the chapter on love. And it said in verse 4, love suffers long, and love is kind, and love doesn't envy, love doesn't vaunt itself, it's not puffed up, it does not behave itself unseemingly, and speaks not her own. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked and doesn't think evil. Isn't that good? It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, and it believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things. Love never fails. Now we come to something that is very, very important. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Why? Why do prophecies fail? Because prophecies speak of something that's going to happen tomorrow or next year or in the year 2012, when the Mayan prophecy is going to be fulfilled and the earth's going to be blown to bits, you know what I mean? You know, God is not a destroyer, but in the true light he is, because all what is not ordained of God, what man has formed, is going to be consumed by fire. So that only that which is of God is remains. And we are all of God. But all that stuff that has been in the outer realms of your mind and the feelings that you have, the despairs, everything that you have, and even your pride and blah, 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 all these things will be cast into the lake of fire. The false prophets, which is, I'm so sick, I'm so lonely, that's the false prophet. And I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get the flu. I'm always the first one to get it, you know. Well, you prophesy. Whether you prophesy the end of the world, or you're looking in the horoscope, you're looking at the tea leaves, and somebody asked me one day, she said to me, "What? When is your birthday?" I said, "What do you want to know?" Well, you know, I want to read you. I want to read your star sign so I can figure out what's going to happen to you. She said, "Well," I said, "I don't have a birthday. Because the man that used to have a birthday is dead. Because I'm no longer subject to time or space. And therefore I do not have a star sign. I don't look in the stars. I don't study the stars." You know, and people that are prognosticators, like even in church, they say, "Well, Jesus is coming." They already said about the end of the world in 1500s. In the 1600s, they already believe it's one another. Then 1700. And every time they say, "Oh, yeah, well, it's going to, we got it wrong." No, they still got it wrong, and you will always be wrong, because in time and space, there is no set particular point in time and space where God is going to return. God has never left. All that God is and all the time and space realm that Jesus came to destroy and fulfill is amazing. It's wonderful to know that my past is wiped out. What all that what is past experience is all formed in time and space. It doesn't exist. It simply isn't there. And the things what you think is going to happen tomorrow can never happen because there simply is no tomorrow. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe that time is fulfilled. You know, in Galatians 4, now I'm just going to read here. It says, love never fails. Whether the prophecies, they shall fail. Why? Because there's no truth in it. Now, whether there be tongues, blah, 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 whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Everything that we have ever learned in whatever place of learning you've ever been in, whether it is theology or philosophy or whatever, or even the medical profession, everything that we have ever learned to the preservation of our human existence will cease. Because it has no original power in it. But the sustaining power of the knowledge of God, like Jesus said, my sheep will know. They will know. Now that word know is Yuida. That is the knowledge that we had in the beginning before the world was. That's the consciousness where nothing can enter that defiles or makes a lie. It's that place where Jesus, I'm going to prepare for you. I'm going to prepare for you a place where there is no time, there is no deterioration, where there is only completeness and wholeness. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, divine life is our life. It's our life. It contains no element of matter. So matter doesn't matter. It's no element of matter. There's no discord or inharmony. It is no decomposition or decrepitude. This life which we are is composed of the substance of spirit and is infinite, eternal, and harmonious. Isn't that something? He that seeth me, him that sent me. He might say, are you talking about yourself, Tony? Yes. Because there is no more Tony. That's why there's only one self, and I am complete in the self that God is. And that what God is, I am in all its fullness. Now that is the absolute, okay? Now, usually when you begin to speak about the absolute, people do not understand the absolute because they still are so much suffering in their physical bodies and in the situations. So you got to break the bread gently so that they can come and find at least a measure of restoration or healing or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I will never turn anybody back. But the best thing is when we can hear the Father speak to us. Because when we hear the Father speak to us, healing comes. Mm-hmm. You know, healing comes by recognition. Have the cognition back again of what was in the beginning with God. Now, of course, we are now, because most of you have been developed to such a degree that you know what I'm talking about. Like Mark and Kathy were saying, there is no me to be healed. There's no me to be healed. There's no me to live. There's no me to restore or to prosper. No, there's only one me, and that's God. And God is the only me. And that me that I am is that life eternal and immortal. Mm-hmm. Whether we speak of you or me, we are speaking of divine life, individually expressed itself in all its harmony and perfection. The life is the mind of God, or the consciousness of God, and the faculties of this consciousness are universally and impartially expressed of God's ideas. You are God's perfect idea. God had the idea in his mind that he would have a man and a woman after his own likeness and image. Okay, but the image is not male or female. Remember that now. All right, the image is not male or female. That's what some people have believed to be, that we are male and female in our constitution. And that's not true. In my true constitution, I am neither male nor female. I am not a he or a she. I simply am that which I am. I am not male or female. Now, of course, there are little comparisons in that, and we may use it as an allegory, but in a revelation, you are neither male nor female. You are that which God says you are, his offspring. Yeah? Individually expressed as you and I. And in the revelation of it, the things which are contrary to the life of God will be restored to you. I've seen sicknesses healed, cancer disappear, all that stuff works. And it works in me sometimes mightily and sometimes not. So you just be lucky in my high realm of spiritual awareness, then you get the healing. So it's a little bit of my responsibility to do that. Are you understanding that? To stay in the consciousness of what Jesus walked in. Yeah. Let this mind be in you. Then you can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the captive, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is the realm of Jubilee, where all the captives will be set free in the recognition and relying on those that are now called as priests after the order of Melchizedek, that will bring life and immortality to light through the gospel and bring everybody in a higher realm where they can experience freedom. All right? Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh,
it's a oh, put it on, Wendy.
Roma, please, could you play that? So, those of you that have heard the CD that Anthony made one day, and Wendy sang on there, "This is my name forever." And so this is number, where is that? This is my name. 152. So Wendy is going to sing it through twice, and then we'll all sing it together, okay? 152. I'm going to wait till Wendy comes back. Thank you. From generation.
Mm-hmm.